Let's just pray. Lord, we thank you that you're with us. We thank you that you love us. We thank you that you're changing us. And I just pray, Lord, as we speak about your word now, Lord, that you will anoint your precious word. Amen. Good morning, everybody. It's fab to be here. You hear me saying every time I'm here, I love being in God's house. This morning, I'm going to talk about the five values that we have as Carmel Community Church. So we gave this leaflet out a few weeks ago, and there are plenty over here. On here. So if anybody wants to collect one after church, then please get one. We just thought that we'd improve our communication about who we are as church, because if you come in here every week, you need to know what you belong to, don't you? You need to know what we believe as a body. Now, some of you have been coming a long time, and some of you know it already, and that's great. But there's a lot of new people who are here who possibly don't know sort of all about it. So that's why we want to kind of just talk through some stuff. But what I'm very excited about is what we believe is based on God's word. I love it, the fact that I'm part of a church that is grounded and rooted in God's word. Because it's God's word, it's through his Holy Spirit, that changes us. It's not being told something. It's not feeling guilty about something, because none of that works. But God's Holy Spirit, when he speaks to us, it's a lasting work. When God tells us something through his Holy Spirit, it changes us forever. And it makes a change through his Holy Spirit. And the fruit of the Spirit, so important. So I'm just going to run through this today. But I'm also going to talk about some other stuff. Okay, can you just have slide one up, please? So our five values about coming here is that when you come here, you're involved in every part of church life and living out the values. That's the first thing. And I'm saying this because this is being recorded and there's a lot of people who aren't here today, with it being Mother's Day. So I'm just going to, just rather than you just read them off the screen, I will actually go through them. The second one is we are becoming disciples. The third one is we are creating community. The fourth one is together or individually, we are carrying the message wherever we go, whatever we do, and whoever we meet. And that's the kind of meaning of evangelism. And finally, our purpose when we gather in a large or small group is to have an encounter with God. I never come here on a Sunday and not expect God to do something. I never do. I'm always ready for God to do something. Because I need God to do something with me. I need God to continue to change me. So though, for those that are listening on the recording, Mark has already covered creating community. God has already... Jed has already... Nearly. Jed has covered encounter with God, which you can go on the website and listen to. And next week, Jed will be covering becoming disciples. And the week after, Mark will bring We Carry the Message. It's all challenging stuff. Some of it might be a bit uncomfortable because it is going to challenge us. Living the Christian life is quite challenging. It is. But what I want you to do with what I'm saying today and everything that I say is it's very simple, really. I just love God because he loves me. And he helps me to be the person that I need to be. And he helps me to be the person that I need to be at home, at work, and in church. And I thank God that I'm not different at any of those places. You'll see when I'm talking. We used to come to church on a Sunday, and people had the Sunday face on. And it wasn't the same as the Monday face, or the Tuesday face, or the Wednesday face. It wasn't. And I know we think that's funny, but it wasn't. People had a Sunday face. They had the best face on a Sunday. And then they could be horrible in the week. But then they came on a Sunday and they had a Sunday face on. And some of us experienced that Sunday face. We did. But I thank God that we're part of a church that don't believe in a Sunday face. I believe in a Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday face. When we're covering the values, It's important because this is what we believe as a church, and we are the body of Christ. It gives us structure. I was thinking about it, and it supports our beliefs. And it's the strategy for us to work towards the outworking of the church vision. And the church vision is to demonstrate to our world a God-inspired lifestyle. Boy, do we need a God-inspired lifestyle to show to our world? We do. I'm not bothered that people think I'm different. I really am not bothered because I am. I am different. I've got God inside me. I've got God who tells me stuff, and I have a relationship with God that works out every minute of every day of my life. And I'm glad that I'm different. I'm not bothered if I'm called a tambourine basher. I'm not bothered if I'm called a Bible basher, though I don't Bible bash people, I never have. I believe in living it. I do not believe in preaching at people. I believe in living it. If people can't see my faith through how I live, there's something wrong. There really is something wrong. So people have got to see how I live. They've got to see what my words are. They've got to see that I'm interested in people. They've got to see that I'm praying for people. I was telling Karen and Peter, I was praying for Karen and Peter a lot yesterday. Yes, it's Saturday. It's not a day in church, but I spent a lot of time praying for Karen and Peter yesterday. They were on my heart most of the day. When I say on my heart, what I mean is in my thoughts and in my mind. And I was pottering like I do, about doing my own little things, tidying up and bits. And every now and again, Peter and Karen kept coming into my thoughts and I kept praying for them. And then this morning, I had some things to say to them that I really felt was God's heart for them. That's what living a Christian life is about. And we can all have that. It's not exclusive to Sue Moores. So going back to the vision, to demonstrate to our world a God-inspired lifestyle, I've underlined that. To be a church that shares God's love with each other and our community, bringing the hope of the gospel that will develop a church that grows numerically and in maturity and experiences the love and the power of God. I'm excited that Dave is coming to church and experiencing the love of God in this place. We are a great church to be part of. We are a great church to be part of. The values enable us to keep unity. If we're all going in the same direction, there's less chance of us falling apart. Making progress, going forward, and ultimately for the extension of his kingdom. We keep saying it, and we'll probably say it for a few weeks. This is not a club. I'm not attending something that is, you know, I'm not passing time here. I'm in God's army for the extension of his kingdom. Are you in God's army for the extension of his kingdom, for his kingdom to grow, for lives to be changed, for lives that are broken, for people in addiction, for to have that addiction broken? The enemy wants to keep people in that addiction. You know, as you walk about, you know the people who are in addiction? When I walk around where I work in Manchester or different places or at home, I see people waiting on a particular corner and I know what they're waiting for, and it's not a bus. They're waiting to get their next, whatever they're buying. I don't know what they buy, but I know what they're looking, because I can tell. Because they've got no chub on them, have they? They're using all the money for the drugs. And it's so sad that they're in this habit. And the enemy's got them in this habit. Because the enemy, we don't talk a lot about the devil, and I'm glad really, because we're not giving him any glory. But what I am going to say is the enemy, his strategy is to rob, steal, and destroy. So if your life's being destroyed by a habit, if your life's being destroyed, you don't develop healthy relationships. You don't develop relationships. They're all broken. And our God is a restoring God, and our God is a God that wants to bring life, and our God is a God that wants to break the power of sin and darkness. And that's why we're going to stand by people like Dave. And anybody else in this place that comes, and families, we will stand with you. We will stand with you. Because that's what we do as Christians, we stand in the gap, and that's what we're going to do. The question you might be asking is, well, how can I live these values? Because those five things I read out are pretty tough. They are tough. How can I do that? Well, it's just like everything else with God helping you. I was telling someone before the service, you can't do stuff without God helping you. For those of you starting the journey, you can't live these values unless God and His Holy Spirit are helping you. That's why the Holy Spirit is called the Helper. Our relationship with God is foundational for our Christian faith. You may have heard the phrase, I use it quite a bit, paddling your own boat. Have you heard that phrase? Are you paddling your own boat? It's something I say sometimes. I'm paddling my boat, but I have to say, I'm not paddling my own boat. God's in my boat. And I was thinking about this yesterday, and I was thinking about it with Karen and Peter, actually. And the thoughts I had were, when I'm paddling my boat, I'm going through life with God in me. He's the one I look for direction in every aspect of my life. Large, small decisions, His guidance, following Him, as the scripture says. So I might be in a boat and I might be paddling, but I'm not leading the boat. My God is telling me what to do, how to get around things, how to get over things, giving me everything I need for life and godliness. The second slide, 2 Peter 1 verse 3, growing in faith. By His divine power, God has given us everything we need for living a godly life. We have received all this by coming to know Him, the one who called us to Himself by means of His marvellous glory and excellence. And because of His glory and excellence, He has given us great and precious promises. These are the promises that enable you to share His divine nature and escape the world's corruption caused by human desires. He steers us through, around, and over life situations. There isn't any situation we can't handle together. And if that's illness, He's with you. If it's addiction, it can be broken. If it's a habit or a thought which you can't break through the Holy Spirit, the Helper, it can be broken. And this is becoming and continuing to be a disciple. So you might say to me, some of you that's new, and I've said this a few times recently, what's a disciple? It's a follower of Jesus. That's what it means. His teachings and His word and His life and how He lived in the Bible. We have the best example. The values we've written down are scripturally based, and they will make a difference in Denton. They will. They make a difference in Tameside. We as a church make a difference in Tameside. All the work that we do in this place, under this roof, makes a difference in Tameside. And I'm going to say, and the world, I'm not going to limit it to Denton and Tameside. What's done in this place makes a difference in the world. We've had loads of people who've gone from here and gone and done things in the world, and will continue to do. We've gone out, haven't we, Eddie? We went to Africa, didn't we, Eddie? We've been out in the world, a few of us. Mark's been to India. A few of us been to different places. Beryl's son's in Australia. There's loads of us being all everywhere. And that will continue. And what that does is, it brings glory to God. See, when God's working in a place, it brings glory to God. When we hear Dave's testimony and Rachel's testimony, that brings glory to God. When things are happening, it brings glory to God. These values originally, as I've already said, there was a slogan that when they were written that went with it, and it was live it. And our previous minister, Jim, who we love dearly, started off with these values. We've changed them slightly since we've come into leadership, but not a lot. And he had this thing, and it was live it. Because he was fed up of people who were in a church but didn't live it. And they didn't. And that's why we have that, and that's why we still got that, because we are an authentic church. We are real church. We're real people with a real faith dealing with real life. What you see is what you get. The live it was by demonstrating God's love by our actions, reactions, and conversations. Have you ever been stood next to somebody and they have a reaction, it's not what you thought? Something will come out of the mouth and you think, ooh. Well, that's kind of what's going on in the heart there. That immediate reaction sometimes is what's going on inside, and it's quite a good measure of that one. But in our actions, our reactions and our conversations, that's where we've got to live it. You see, the church where people had a Sunday face and then a different Monday face is not the church that Jesus died for. God did not send his son for that church, and that's why we as a church are so strong on this. That's not what Jesus died for. I thank God that we teach that we're a come as you are church, and that we're real, and don't wait to get sorted out. You hear us say this a lot, come as you are and God sorts you out. Don't wait to be clean. See, what God wants of us is he wants you as a vessel. And some of you will say, well, I can't be a vessel because I'm dirty. I can't be a person that can be used by God. I can't be a person that can do something for God. And that's kind of what the enemy says. The enemy says that you're too dirty. You're not clean enough. You've got this habit. You've got that. How could you be used for God? How could you be used on a Sunday morning for God? And what God says is, I want you to be my vessel. And that's why it's so important for us to meet on a Sunday and for us to meet and support things that go on. And that's not said to make you feel guilty. That's not what we're about as a leadership. What we're about is you being here on a Sunday means that you can encourage and bless someone else. You can have a conversation over a cup of tea or in this place here where God gives you something to say to someone else. Because it's not all about me and it's not all about you. And you can't do that if you're not here. So it's not about feeling guilty. That's definitely not our motive. It's about the body of Christ being ministered to by each and every one of you. Third slide, please. 2 Timothy 2:21. If you keep yourself pure, you'll be a special utensil for honourable use. Your life will be clean and you'll be ready for the Master to use you for every good work. And on the same slide, Colossians 3:17. Whatever you do or say, do it as a representative of the Lord Jesus. Give thanks through him to God the Father. I'd encourage you to read Colossians, those of you that are mature Christians, read Colossians. Paul is writing to the Colossian church on how to live. And like the values, he's speaking to them about their deeds and their works. But when I was looking through this, I read this in the Message version, and it kind of says a lot more. Let the peace of Christ keep you in tune with each other, in step with each other. None of this going off and doing your own thing, and cultivate thankfulness. Let the word of Christ, the message, have the run of the house. Give it plenty of room in your lives. Instruct and direct one another using good common sense, and sing your hearts out to God. Let every detail in your lives, words, actions, and whatever be done in the name of the Master Jesus, thanking God the Father every step of the way. When I read that, I just thought that was brilliant. Being thankful, staying in tune, not buzzing off and doing our own thing, which sometimes we want to do. See, the body of Christ is made up of many parts, and we know that, but it's like a jigsaw. When you're missing, it's not complete. There's nothing worse, is there? I used to do a lot of jigsaws as a child, and I used to do them with my granddad. And my granddad was always very old, which they always are when you're little, aren't they? They're always ancient. And my granddad was very, very stooped and very old. And he was born in 1895, my granddad, which sounds like forever, doesn't it? And we used to, he didn't come to our house very often, but this particular time my gran was in hospital and my mum didn't want to leave him on his own. And he said, oh, let's do a jigsaw. Now, what I didn't know was that my poor granddad was colourblind. And I'd be about 11. And we sat doing this jigsaw, and I used to love jigsaws, and I was always doing the edges first and then doing the other bits. And then poor granddad was putting hedges in the sea and seeing the hedges, because obviously blue and greens weren't colours he could sort out. So I used to have to very gently sort of help my granddad and sort of put the right bits in the right places. But, you know, we're like a massive jigsaw. I know the body in the Bible is described as different hands and different feet, but we're also like a jigsaw. And when you're missing, it has an impact. I want to just say that the five values that I've read out, I want you to try and probably think about them. And this is quite, it's important to get a leaflet, because I want you to stick them somewhere where they're quite prominent. And I want you to think about how you as an individual over the next few weeks, and as you listen to the recordings and things, what God is saying to you about how you can live these values in the church and outside of the church, because they're not a shopping list. You know, there's something that have been really thought about. When you read one, please ask God, how are you going to live it out? You can decide in your head how to follow Jesus, but it has to be physical and the spiritual move in that direction. And I thank God that I see people in church today taking up your cross and being active. I thank God for that, because that's part of the values. Slide 4. God's hope in you. He has made a heavenly deposit. So 1 Peter 3 verse 15 says, but in your hearts, revere Christ as Lord. Always be prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks you to give the reason for the hope that you have. But do this with gentleness and respect. Christians, those of you who have been Christians a while, have that word of hope ready. So when somebody says to you, why do you believe what you believe? Have it ready. You might not have said to someone for quite some time why you believe what you believe, or why you come to church, or why you've got your faith, but have it ready, because I believe that soon somebody will ask you. Have it ready. It's a blessed life, living it, putting God first. And I'm so glad. When God begins to work with us, the very, very beginning, it's brilliant. God begins to work with us. We can't wait to be here at church. We can't wait for him to change us. We're just so excited about how he's dealing with us. And then we're on this journey, and bit by bit, God reveals things to us. And parts of it are quite tough. But what I really like about God is he sees the finished product. We don't see that. God sees the finish when he looks at me. He sees the finished product. I see the person who's working along that journey, but God sees the finished person. And what he starts, he will complete. I love that scripture. The work that he started in you, he will complete. The other night, I was at home, and rubbish on the telly. I thought, oh, I don't want to watch that rubbish. Right. I thought, right, let's see what I've recorded. Not recorded very much. Thought, there's not much there then, is there? I'd only got about an hour, and I thought, I just want to watch something just to relax and just, you know. And then I thought, right, I'll have a look at some of these apps at the bottom of the telly. So on my Samsung telly, they've got these apps, and I thought, right, whiz in and out of these. So I pressed it, and what did I get? A black screen. Thought, great. So I thought, it's not connected to the internet. Why is it not connected to the internet? So I had a new hub fitted a few weeks ago. And I know what I'm doing. I'd signed us up on the new hub, had gone around every device in the whole house. Oh, what a nightmare. I'd joined everything up, but I'd still got this black screen. And when I went into the Wi-Fi settings, because we live in an old house, we've got lots of boosters in different rooms because you can't get internet everywhere. It's rubbish. And it was connected to a booster upstairs. So there's one next to telly. It's not connected to that one, is it? It's connected to the one upstairs. So right, sort it all. And sometimes, you know, that can be like us. Sometimes we've been a Christian quite a while. We think we're all connected. We think we're connected to the Wi-Fi. And it's only when we start to do a specific thing we suddenly realise, oh, I'm not as connected as I thought I was. I'm not in tune with God as I thought I was. And I was thinking about that when I was preparing this word. Sometimes you're just moving on and moving on and we forget to go back to God and say, God, am I still connected? Am I still connected to you, God? Just have a think about that. Keep checking that you're connected. Matthew 5 verse 16 says, in the same way, let your light shine before people so they can see the good things you do and praise the Father who's in heaven. Living the values means your light will be shining. And I'm just going to end with this. And this was something that I felt very strongly when I was writing this. God does not want anyone here today to miss any opportunity. Through conversations, situations, opportunities are exciting. New adventures, allowing God to do something when we meet in his house now, or our God to do a miracle somewhere. He makes a way where there isn't a way. So then we have an opportunity. Let us do good to everyone, and especially to those who are in the household of faith, especially to those within this house, especially to those. Let's ask and be obedient to what's next. When we give God the opportunity to work in these areas, you will be so blessed. You know, we had a really good response from the breakfast the other week when we all came and we all ate together. We had a really good response from the sheets that came back. And it's really encouraged us working in the church as leaders. It's really encouraged us. We had a great response. And the song we sung this morning, which I asked Ray to include in the list, was Build My Life Upon. We live for you. Jesus, the name above every other name. Open up my eyes and fill me with your heart and lead me in your love to those around me. Holy, none like you. Show me and fill me. His love is a firm foundation. I will not be shaken, and I will build my life upon your love, a firm foundation. Through the values, let's take the message of love and hope. You are his hope of glory. Live it. Bless you all. Have a good week, everyone.